I was really excited to turn 16. Not because I had a big party and not because I was going to go up, but because I got to join the volunteer fire department, which, if you knew me at the time, did not make any sense. I had shoulder-length brown hair with a center part. I had a like a chain wallet for a period of time, which was pretty cool. And most of my clothes were t-shirts from Kohl's that said things like, "It wasn't me." And I thought that was really sassy. But nevertheless, I was really looking forward to it, and I joined, and I was having the time of my life. A couple things you should know about this peculiar fire department. It's in northern Westchester, in a very rural town where I grew up. There is one traffic light, and that's pretty much it. There is, I hear, a holistic veterinarian that Oprah once took her dog to, and people talked about it for like years after. The other interesting thing about this fire department is that at that time there was no staffing of the fire department. It was just if you were in town and the siren went off, you were sort of expected to make every effort to go. So if you were at a friend's pool at a party, you were supposed to get up, towel off, and go to the firehouse. If you were cooking dinner, if you brought your girlfriend to meet your dad for the first time and went out to dinner at a local restaurant and then heard the siren go off and then left him there for a couple hours and had to deal with that later and ruined your relationship. So that was like kind of peculiar part one. And then peculiar part number two was that I didn't have a car or a license. So when the siren went off at 1 o'clock in the morning, I would hop out of bed, get my shoes on, and run to the firehouse. The biggest problem was I was really out of shape when I was 16, and I would never make it in time to get on the fire truck, and so I would just have to wait at the firehouse until the fire truck came back, and then I would go home. But I got older, and I got a license, and I got a car, and I finally got my first taste of emergency medicine. This is where it all happened, and I got more and more invested into it, and I started to experience for the first time this sort of cognitive dissonance where I liked going on calls, but I also had a weird guilt of like wishing bad things to happen to people to go on calls. And I had a really weird, quirky, peculiar neighbor who lived across the street. He kind of looked like a Roald Dahl character. He was like very like tall and wiry and lanky, and he had very round glasses. And I didn't think, you know, too much of him, and I was telling him about this existential crisis I was having, and he articulated it so well, and he said, "Maybe you're not wishing for bad things to happen to people, but you know they will, and you want to be the one there to help take care of them when it does." And I sort of adopted that as my philosophy in my career from then and through until today. Fast forward, I'm a second year emergency medicine resident in New York. I'm just like having the time of my life. I'm on an overnight recess shift in the winter, and it's one of those crazy shifts that like I know I'm gonna think about forever going forward. And you know, I'm not wishing for bad things to happen to people, but bad things keep happening to people, and I'm having like a really interesting time like intubating and doing lines and resuscitating all these people. Finally, 2 a.m. rolls around, and there's a nice quiet in the emergency department, and over my left shoulder, I hear my medical student, Alana. Alana is a like 5 foot nothing Jewish New York woman who is there doing her emergency medicine audition rotation to match into our field, to potentially match into our hospital. And she says over my left shoulder, "I don't feel so good." And I try to be the cool resident, and what does the cool resident do for all the medical students? You send them home early, right? And so I'm like, okay. And in my head, I'm like, all right, then you should just go. Except out loud, I said, "Well, then you should just go." And I heard her go. And I heard her scamper out of the emergency room through the ambulance bay. And I went, "Oh, shit." And so I followed her outside, and it was just this very cinematic moment. It was super desolate, isolated street. Alana is like leaning up against the brick wall of the hospital, just crying outside. And I was like, "Oh, shit." And I was like, I'm so sorry. I wasn't trying to like get you out of here. I was just trying to say like, you know, like if you need to go take care of yourself, you can go do that." And she took a deep breath and she said, "How'd you know this job is for you?" And I realized that she didn't hear anything I had said in the emergency department. I had been so oblivious to how she was feeling during all of this because I was having a great resuscitation shift. I didn't think for a moment that someone might be having a hard time with this. spring came and I checked the match lists and Alana did not match at our hospital and she did not match into emergency medicine. And I told that story about 6 years ago, sort of in the theme of how I feel like I somehow ruined this woman's career in emergency medicine. And then something happened just 2 years ago. I'm an attending at Mount Sinai Hospital. I was working a regular shift and I run into the ICU fellow. And the ICU fellow in the hallway is this 5 foot nothing Jewish woman from New York. And I said, "Are you?" And she said, "Yes." And she said, "Are you?" And I said, "Yes." And without having to actually hash it out, we knew exactly who the other person was and the night that we were about to discuss. And I said, "I can't believe you're a critical care fellow now. That's incredible. Alana, you have to know that I tell people this story about how I feel like I ruined your entire career in emergency medicine. And I'm just curious, did the same thing happen from your perspective? Am I remembering this right?" And she said, "Yes." But the thing I didn't tell you that night was that 2 weeks before that shift, my dad suffered a cardiac arrest and was in the ICU. And I was having a really hard time being around dead and dying people. But I'm so glad we had that shift because I realized after that shift that emergency medicine isn't for me. And I'm happy with the path that I went on. And I think about Alana a lot nowadays, and the thing that still sticks with me is her ability to look within and sense a pivot and a change with all the external changes, because the external changes are obvious and were obvious to her, but it took that shift to sort of make the invisible visible to her on what needed to shift. And I also look at myself in those shoes because I think in a lot of ways, she and I are on a similar path. What I mean by that is she was 2 feet into emergency medicine. She had signed up for an audition rotation. She had gotten her application ready. She was fully committed to be an ER doctor. She was in New York City in an ER at 2 o'clock in the morning resuscitating people, and it took that for her to see something else. I still feel like I'm 2 feet into emergency medicine. I'm all about it. I'm ready to go. But I still feel the external changes happening around me. That woman I abandoned at the restaurant with my dad, I'm married to her now, and we have 2 children, and I just switched jobs a month ago. And I feel all the changes happening around me, but I still feel invested very, very much in this job. And I do wonder if I'll have a shift someday that'll change that perspective. Thanks.